Welcome to another message from God's Word. We're studying the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, in the 10th chapter, we have the beginning of the founding of a Gentile church. A Gentile church. I want to read to you from verses 10:1-10 from the Amplified Bible as we go on in this study. It says, now living at Caesarea, there was a man whose name was Cornelius. That word Cornelius there comes from the Latin cornus, which means horn, or strength, or power, and position. A centurion of what was known as the Italian regiment. The Italian regiment, Italianos, they were Italians. They were Romans. They were the Roman Empire. Now, he was a centurion. That means he was over at least 80 legionaries, which is a very powerful position. A devout man who venerated God and treated him with reverential obedience, as did all his household, and he gave much alms to the people and prayed continually to God. He believed with all his heart, and he believed with his pocketbook also. When God gets a hold of a man's pocketbook, he's got his heart. You know that. About the 9th hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the day starts at 6 a.m. to the Jews. About the 9th hour, or 3 o'clock in the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God entering and saying to him, Cornelius. And he, gazing intently at him, became frightened and said, what is it, Lord? And the angel said to him, your prayers and your generous gifts, your mercy, the word generous there means, comes from Elios, and it means merciful gifts, to the poor have come up as a sacrifice to God and have been remembered by him. Now send men to Joppa and have them call for and invite here one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Simon means one who hears. And Peter, Petros, means a little stone. Peter is not the rock that the church was founded on, by the way. Jesus is that rock. Peter is a pebble. And in Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus made that very clear to Peter and to us. You are a little stone, Petros, but upon this gigantic Petra rock, I shall be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down. Joseph Smith, Charles Taze Russell, the Catholic Church, nobody had to come along and recover the church. Not even the Protestant Reformation up here, as you look up in here in church history. The church was always there. Always. And the reason why it was there is because God said that the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down or prevail against her. And now send men to Joppa and have them call and invite here one Simon, whose name is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, a skin fixer, whose house is by the seashore. And when the angel who spoke to him had left, Cornelius called two of his servants and a God-fearing soldier from among his own personal attendants. You remember what John the Baptist and what Jesus told the soldiers? Be satisfied with your wages. Don't take other people's property. Be satisfied with your wages, what you eat, and your wages. This man listened. This man listened. And having rehearsed everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were still on their way and were approaching the town, Peter went up into the roof of the house to pray. And about the 6th hour, that's high noon now, but he became very hungry, and he just wanted to taste something good. While the meal was being prepared, a hypnotic trance, an ecstasy fell over him. And there is where we start our reading in the Greek. This second. kai theore, ton uron aneg menon, kai karabino, skeos, ti hos, af, or athonain, megalain, terasesin, arkes, kathi menon, epites ges. And he beholds, like in a theater, in this ecstasy of this tremendous vision that he's having, the heaven having been opened up and coming down and a vessel. What as a sheet, a great sheet, by four corners being let down upon the earth. A sheet or a tablecloth, a great big tablecloth, held by four corners, coming down upon the earth. Epites ges. En ho eperkein panta ta tetra podas. Kai herpeta tes ges kai petena to Oranu, in which it kept on being all kind of four-footed tetrapoda and reptiles of the earth. Now, people, many of these are unclean animals. A Jew will never, ever eat unclean. They won't eat clams. They won't eat oysters or any of those things. Verse number 13, Kai agentophone prosaton anastas petre. Sisa kai phage. And became a sound to him out of heaven and said, stand up. Stand up, Peter, and slay and eat. Stand up, Peter, and slay and eat. These are live animals coming down. They're alive. And he says unto him, Phage, Sison, slaughter and eat. Slaughter and eat. Ho de Petros epen medamos. Curie hote udepote. Ephagon pon koinon kai akatharton. Now, God is using a parabolic form here, a symbol, a parable, to teach Peter a lesson. And Peter, he said, no, not at all. Me domos, Lord, because never udepote. Never I have eaten everything common or anything common and unclean. Never have I eaten anything common or unclean. I'm a Jew. I'm a proud Jew. I don't eat this. Many times, ethnic culture prescribes and demands that we abstain from certain things. The Apache Indians would never eat pork, nor would they ever eat a fish. The fish to them were the underwater people. Geronimo said, he said, as far as I know, he said, I would starve before I'd ever eat bacon or pork or anything. And as far as I know, I never ate fish because he was in prison. The Apache culture forbid them to eat fish. There was a real wonderful movie one time, but they didn't quite do enough research. It was called Missing with Tommy Lee Jones. And he went to align himself and make up for leaving his family, and he wanted to meet his daughter, and he wanted to make things right with her. And she disdained him. She just hated him. Hated him. And he did everything he could do to win her over, and finally, in the end of the movie, he did. Because he gave his life for her. and her daughters. But there was one very bad mistake in that movie. Now, he was living, and he had a couple of Apache Indian wives. And they came upon a homestead where these Comancheros had come along and killed the whole family. And he got in trouble with the soldiers, and he went out and camped off to the side. And she came along and with a little girl, and he said, "Do you want sage with your fish?" They didn't know what I know. That man, living like an Apache, would never eat fish. They blew that in that movie. They didn't know I was going to watch it, see. Well, Peter was that kind of person. He would not eat anything common or unclean. Common food was for the Gentiles. One time they said that those Jewish herds of swine there, the Jews weren't eating those swine, but they were sure selling them to the Romans and to the Gentiles. And it says, Kaiphon epale ek deutero prosauton ha hothios. And a voice again out of the second time out of heaven to him, it says, "What thing the God he has cleansed?" That word "he has cleansed" there, that means he's made clean. God made it clean. And it's punctiliarly clean. Our souls, our spirits, our lives, when we ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins, we are clean. We are clean. Every Gentile that's ever been saved, when he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, he is clean. Every Jew that has not believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is still unclean. He's like a dog. He says, "Whatever the God of heaven has cleansed, don't you dare call uncommon. Don't you dare call common." Tuto de egenito hepi tris kai ethos analepte to skios eis ton urano. Instead, it came down upon the earth the third time, and immediately it was taken up the vessel back into heaven. Verse number 7, ho de en ielto dia porri ho petros ti an e to oroma ho e de edu ho andres hoi apesalamanoi hippo tu Cornelio. And in himself, he kept on doubting. Look at that. Peter just couldn't believe God told him to do that. Well, just think about Abraham for just 1 minute. Abraham was told by the God of heaven that hated human sacrifice, that hated self-sacrifice, to become righteous before him. He told Abraham, "Take your son now, the son that is the promised son. I want you to take him over here in this mountain where I show you," which is Mount Moriah, which is up there on Jerusalem. He said, "I want you to go up there. I want you to slay him." Talk about a contradiction. But God told him to do it. Abraham, grumbling all the way, I imagine, takes that boy up on that mountain, Isaac. And Isaac says, Father, we have wood, we have fire. We don't have a sacrifice." Abraham looks at that boy, and he told Isaac, he said, "God will provide a sacrifice." Now, in the New Testament, it tells us that Abraham, even though he was going to slay that boy, he believed that God, through him, would raise up seed, and he would become a great spiritual nation through that boy Isaac. And he believed that if he killed that boy, that God raised him from the dead. Because the promise was in that boy. And when he got ready to cut that boy's throat, his son's throat. And that was the only son that he was really going to have up until this point. Because he was the promised son. God says, steal your hand. I know that you have believed me. Now, Peter was doubting. And what if maybe the vision which he saw, behold the men, the ones having been sent by Cornelius, dia ro te atontes, te oikion tu Simona, epestason epiton polona. And having asked the house of Simon, they stood at the porch of the house. Verse number 18. Kai phonesantes epu thononton e Simona ho epi kalumenos. Petros en thade zinezete. And having called, they kept on inquiring for themselves if Simon, the one being called Peter, there, in there, he is lodging. He is caused to be lodging. Tu de Petro diathi meno peri tu Oramatos, epen auto to numa, ido Andres dio zethusen, si. And Peter, thoroughly thinking through this for himself now, concerning the vision, the Oramatos, he said to him, the Spirit, behold the men, the two that are seeking you. These men are seeking you. 20. Alla anastases kata bethe kai poru sin autos mede diakrinomanos hote ego apestalak autos. But having stood up and having gone down, and you go with them. Go for yourself with him. Don't doubt. Quit doubting. Quit being of divided mind. James says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Peter just did not believe the vision that God told him to slay and eat all of these unclean animals. Now he's going to go find out something else. He's going to go into a Gentile house. And that Gentile is going to be so merciful to him as saying, don't even come underneath my roof, because I'm unclean to you. But God said, whatever God has cleansed, don't you call common or unclean. Nothing doubting, because I have sent them. Katabas de Petros prostus. Andras epen idu ego emi hon zeistete tis he aetia dihein paraste. And having gone, Peter spoke to them, and he said, behold, I am whom you seek. For what cause for which you are here? I am the reason you're here. I am the reason you're here. I am the reason that you're here. Verse number 22. Ho de epon Cornelios, ekata tarkes, aner, dikaios, kai, phobumenos, ton theon, matiromenos, te hipoholon tu ethnos ton, judion, erka matiste, hipo angulo, hagio, mara, pamps thoste, si eis ton oikon, auto kai akuse remata para si. A long verse. And moreover, the ones, they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a man just and righteous and fearing the God, being a witness both by all of the entire nation of the Jews. The Jews have witnessed this. And he was warned by an angel, a holy angel, to summon you unto the house of him and to hear the word from you. Let's go back and read all of this now from verse 10 on. But he became very hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he could smell it. In the Greek, in the original language, it says that he wanted to smell what he was, what he wanted to taste what he was smelling. And he saw a great, the sky opened, and something like a great sheet lowered by the four corners descending to the earth. It contained all kinds of quadrupeds, and wild beasts, and creeping things of the earth, and birds of the air. And there came a voice saying, Rise up, Peter, slay, slaughter, and eat. But Peter says, No, by no means. Lord, I have never eaten anything that is common and unhallowed or ceremonially unclean. And the voice came to him again out of the second time out of heaven. What God has cleansed and pronounced clean, do you dare not defile and profane by regarding and calling common and unhallowed or unclean. What God has cleansed, do not call unclean. This occurred three times. Then immediately the sheet was taken up into heaven. Now Peter was still inwardly perplexed and doubting as to what the vision which he had just seen could mean. And when just men behold the messengers that were sent by Cornelius, who had made inquiry for Simon's house, stopped and stood before the gate. And they called out to inquire whether Simon, who was surnamed Peter, was staying there. While Peter was earnestly revolving the vision in his mind and meditating upon it, the Holy Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are looking for you. Get up and go below and accompany them without any doubt about this legality or any discrimination or hesitation, for I have sent them. God works on both sides, the preacher and the recipient of the grace of God. I have never preached a sermon that convicted a man of sin, righteousness, and judgment come and that was saved. Not me. I didn't convict them of it. It's the Holy Spirit of God that convicts their soul and brings them to God. It is the Holy Spirit of God that convicts a person to be saved and believe, and it's the Holy Spirit of God that makes you want to seek baptism and fellowship with God. Then Peter went down to the man and said, I am the man you seek. What is the purpose of your coming? And he said, and they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a captain, who is just and upright and in right standing with God, being God-fearing and obedient, well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, and has been instructed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house. He has received an answer to prayer, a warning to listen to and act upon what you will say. That's the story, people. He goes on a little bit further now. But that is the story of the grace of God in action. The story of the grace of God and the mercy of God in action. This man, Cornelius, he was a believer in God. But he lacked something. He lacked something. He lacked the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that God preached the gospel of Jesus Christ unto Abraham. I'm sure Isaac heard it, and I know Jacob heard it. The gospel. Jacob on his deathbed said that the scepter shall not depart from Judah's feet until Shiloh come. And that's our Savior that he was prophesying of. Our Savior that he was prophesying of. Let's read this one more time now. They said, Cornelius, a centurion, a captain, a man over at least 80 legionaries, who is just and upright and right-saying with God, and God-fearing and obedient, and well spoken up by the whole Jewish nation, still needs something else to do to get to the beatific vision of God. And you got the message. Peter, you've got the message. And the message that you've got for him, God has told him to listen to and obey. And we're going to read on about that message in our next message. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out. I pray for all of my students all over the world that they can use messages like this to preach your Son and him crucified and him buried and raised again, the gospel. Every time we see somebody baptized by the proper mode, death, burial, and resurrection, we see the gospel. Father, thank you for all the blessings you give us. Thank you for the forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy that you give to us. Every day I see it in my life, Father. I see your forgiveness. I see your love. I see your guidance. And I see your leadership. And I know right now that I'm doing exactly what you want me to do. I pray that you use it, Father. Touch lives all over the world. Touch those that are saved with a message. And touch those that are lost with the same message, but that they can have mercy and forgiveness like you've given to all of those that believe. In Jesus' name we pray.